called Spirit-Filled Church, a Spirit-Filled Church. So I hope you have your Bible, you have something to take notes with, because we're going to learn and we're going to grow together. Amen, everybody? So hold up your Bible with me and let's make our confession. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind's alert. My heart's receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to church on the rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Let's give God praise for the word today, everybody. Thank you for the word, Lord. Amen and amen. Well, we're in a series. We started last weekend, a Spirit-Filled Church, a Spirit-Filled Church. And if you're new to our church, you know, I'm the founding pastor. I came here 42 years ago, met with 35 people in the St. Peter's Library, and we launched Church on the Rock. And down through the years, over four decades, a lot of times people would see me out in Walmart or Target or Deerberg's, and they'd say, you know, you're that pastor of that church out there, right? And St. Peter's, yeah. It's Church on the Rock. Yeah, well, what kind of a church is it? I've never heard of a church like that before. Well, you know what? It's a Spirit-Filled Church. A lot of people don't know what that means, or they have the wrong perspective in saying you're a Spirit-Filled Church. So in this series, I want to just lay it out very simple and very plain who we are and what you can expect when you come to church on the rock. We are a Spirit-Filled Church. Why am I teaching this? You say, Pastor, really? I came today. I have needs. I have situations I'm in, circumstances, things I'm facing this week. I need help. I'm going to help you. I promise you. I'm going to give you tools. I'm going to equip you for a better life this week. Is that okay? And how to face everything you're going through this week and face it with strength, anointing, courage, power, and wisdom, and overcome whatever you're going through. Okay, so why? Why would you teach on letting us know that Church on the Rock is a Spirit-Filled Church? And let me tell you why. The big idea this whole month, when you say you're a Spirit-Filled Church, it says simply that you want to make room for the Holy Spirit to work in our church and our life and our homes and our family. That we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the person of the Holy Spirit. You see, we believe in the Trinity at Church on the Rock. We believe there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But the only one of the Trinity that's on the earth today is God the Holy Spirit. Our Heavenly Father, God the Father, is in heaven. Jesus, it says, is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. So the only part of the Trinity on the earth is the Holy Spirit. Well, that's where you and I are, so we need to get to know the Holy Spirit. We need to have a relationship, good morning, Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit. So that's the whole idea this whole month, is I want you and I to have a closer, better relationship in this Spirit-Filled Church that we call Church on the Rock with the Holy Spirit, giving Him room to move in our life, giving Him room and yielding and surrendering Him for whatever He has planned for us will come to pass in our life, giving Him room for Him to move and have His being and all that He wants to do in us, with us, and for us in our life. So why would I teach on it? Have a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit. Why? Look at the screen. To live my best life in every season of my life. To live my best life in every season of my life. In other words, if you're in your 30s, it should be better than when you were in your 20s. If you're in your 40s, it should be better than your 30s. If you're in your 50s, it should be better than your 40s. 60s better than your 50s. 70s better than your 60s. 80s better. Each season, the Holy Spirit is there to lead us and guide us and make that season the best season of our life. So why would I teach on it? So you and I have a greater boldness in our witness. A greater boldness in our witness, so we have greater influence and greater impact, and that our life, it's significant and it makes a difference in other people's lives. Why would I be teaching on a spirit-filled church, which we are here at Church on the Rock, to have greater impact and greater influence on others, to see signs, wonders, and more miracles in our life? When we say we're a spirit-filled church, we believe in the supernatural power of God. We believe that with God, someone needs to hear this today, all things are possible. We believe that the greater one, the Holy Spirit, lives on the inside of us so we can declare and decree God's promise in 1 John 4, verse 4, that says greater, everyone say greater, again say greater, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why I would teach on it. So the definition of a spirit-filled church, look at the screen, is not wacky, not weird, not crazy, not super religious, not holier than thou, but the definition of a spirit-filled church is a community of believers who are led not by our flesh or our feelings or our circumstances, but led by the Holy Spirit, who are transformed, empowered, they recognize and honor and are welcoming the presence of the Holy Spirit into their everyday life. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13, an amazing verse, verse 14. Now, let's build our thought today on having a greater relationship with the Holy Spirit. Look what it says in 2 Corinthians 13, 14. The grace, the favor, the spiritual blessing. Boy, I like that already. The Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, watch this now, and the presence. Everyone say presence. You see, a spirit-filled church, we want the presence of the Holy Spirit. I can sense him here right now. Where two or three are gathered together in his name, there he is. You see, we want the presence of God in this campus, in every room, elevator, stairwell, classroom, every seat, every part of this campus. We want the presence of God when you and I come, because in his presence is fullness of joy. Are you dealing with depression today? Are you dealing with anxiety, panic attacks? Can't sleep, insomnia, worry, fear. The Bible says in his presence, all of our enemies melt like wax. That's why you want to go to a spirit-filled church. Now, I realize not everybody wants to go to a spirit-filled church. I realize that not everybody wants as much as God as we want at Church on the Rock. You know, churches, there's one for everybody. That's why there's so many churches, because there's so many different of us who want different things in God, in our journey as a Christian. But you know, I'm a part of a gym out of San Diego, California, and that gym is called Invictus. Now, Invictus Gym is not like the YMCA. I'm not down in the YMCA. It's not like Planet Hollywood or Planet Fitness or whatever. It's not like that. And all those gyms are great, because I've been to a lot of gyms in my life. But like for the last 10 years, I've been a part of a gym in San Diego, California called Invictus. And in San Diego, that's where the SEAL teams, that's where their workout is, their facility is. And the Invictus gym that I go to, the Navy SEALs go there and train. The Navy SEALs go there and train. The Invictus gym that I'm a part of, fire breathers, if you know what I mean, fire breathers, they're another level. I mean, they want to go all the way. I mean, they're kind of eccentric. They're kind of, not normal to the average gym goer. And my coach, you've heard me say before, he won't let me stay the same. Some people want to go to a church where they can stay the same, be comfortable, coast, and exist. Well, they won't let you do that in my gym called Invictus in San Diego, California. You know, every week, my coach will add 2.5 pounds or more reps or more this, more that. He'll never let me stay the same. In a spirit-filled church, we won't let you stay the same, because we see your potential. The same way, my coach, I'm 72 years old. He doesn't know I'm 72 years old. Because he asked me to do things that the average 72-year-old cannot do. And it's amazing. You know what? It stretches me. It causes me to do more. A spirit-filled church, wow, that's what we are at Church on the Rock, where we believe in the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to allow him to move in our life. We want the presence of God in our homes. We want the presence of God in our church. So look at this. The love of God, and look at the screen, and the presence and the fellowship. What is that? The presence and the fellowship and the sharing together and the partnering in the Holy Spirit be with you all. I want to extract something there. You and I are to learn how to commune, how to fellowship, how to partnership with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is just as much God as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, the Trinity. But remember, the only one on the earth right now to help you and me is the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I go away. We're going to look at the scripture in just a minute. I go away. I've got to go to heaven. I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. I'm going to prepare your future in heaven. But I'm going to give you another one just like me, and it's for your advantage, the Holy Spirit. As a Christian, going to a Spirit-filled church, it should give me an advantage over the average bear, average person, average Christian. Look what it says in John 14, 26. Look at this scripture. Amazing now. You want to build a relationship, so you want to know the nature of the Holy Spirit. We look in the Bible of what we call emblems. The Bible refers to the Holy Spirit as fire, but he's not fire. As water, but he's not water. As a dove, but he's not dove. As wind, but he's not wind. As a sound, but he's not sound. All the emblems in the Bible reveal the nature of the Holy Spirit. So you want to know those emblems. You want to study your Bible. But look here. Here are seven names of the Holy Spirit. Seven names, which give us the function of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is going to, you need counseling today? Let me guide you. You need strength today. You need encouragement today. You need someone to stand by you today. You feel all alone today. Well, I can help you. Look at this verse. But the comforter, say comforter. And the counselor, say counselor. And the helper, anybody need help? I do. I sure do. The helper, say helper. The intercessor, say intercessor. The advocate, say advocate. The strengthener, say strengthener. The standby, say standby. You now know more about the Holy Spirit than the average Christian. Here are seven functions of the Holy Spirit, seven ministries of the Holy Spirit. He's a comforter. Do you need comfort today? He's a counselor. Do you need counsel in your marriage, your parenting, your job, the transition, the season you're in? He's your strengthener. He's your advocate. He's your standby. He's your intercessor. He's your helper. Seven names that reveal the nature of the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. Whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf. Look at this. He will teach you. So not only those seven functions, but also he's a teacher. The Holy Spirit is a teacher. Whoa. We're lifelong students. We're lifelong learners. And he's our teacher. He will teach you all things. So everything you and I need to know to fulfill our purpose, assignment, calling, and destiny, the Holy Spirit will teach you. He will teach you all things, and he will cause you to recall. He will cause you to recall. Look at this. He'll cause you to recall or remind you, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. We're looking at the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Now look at John chapter 16 and verse 13. You need to mark these in your Bible, family. John 16, 13. But when he, notice the Holy Spirit is not wind, fire, a dove, a sound, a tongue. But notice he is a he. He's a personality. He's an individual. But when he, and here he's called the Spirit of Truth. So the Holy Spirit will never lie to you. The Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you, comfort you, help you, strengthen you, stand by you, and never lie to you. He's the Spirit of Truth, truth-giving Spirit. He will guide you into the truth. That's the Word of God. The Holy Spirit helps us understand the Bible. The Holy Spirit helps us to get revelation or insight or break it down or understand the Bible. That's why if you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you and you're not born again, you can't understand the Bible, have no desire to read it or be in it. But when you get born again, now you've got to be born again only through and by the Holy Spirit. I can't get born again without the Holy Spirit. It's called regeneration. For his own authority, but he will tell you whatever he hears from the Father, and he will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce, look at this, another function. We're building a relationship. We're building a relationship with the Holy Spirit. He will announce and declare to you things that are to come in the future. So the Holy Spirit removes fear and uncertainty, or the fear of uncertainty in my life. If I'm in a Spirit-filled church and I allow the Holy Spirit to fill me every day of my life as a Christian, then he will reveal to me what I need to know in the future. He will show me things to come and how to prepare ahead of time. I won't need tarot cards. I won't need a Ouija board. I won't need a special telephone number. I won't need a seance. I won't need witchcraft. I won't need any of that, because the greater one, the Holy Spirit, is on the inside of me, and he will show me things to come and help me be prepared. So I no longer have to be awake all night long afraid of my future. Can we stop right now and have a praise break? Come on, everybody, just give the Lord a praise right now. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Okay, now Acts 1, verse 8. Look at this now. Acts 1, verse 8, a Spirit-filled church, which we are. We're explaining it. But you shall receive power. Everybody say power. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Wow. And you will be a witness to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You say, Pastor, I don't live in Israel, but you use that as a metaphor. You use that as symbolic of where you live, the city, the state, the nation, and the world. That the Holy Spirit, a Spirit-filled church is a witnessing church. A Spirit-filled church is a witnessing church. Wow, I love that. A Spirit-filled church is not ashamed of God or the gospel. A Spirit-filled church is concerned about the lost, concerned about those who don't know God. A Spirit-filled church witnesses on the job and at school through a lifestyle, through their behavior, through their character, through their response, through their values, through their priorities, through what they invest their time, talent, and treasure in. So a Spirit-filled church, you get the power to be a witness to your world. I love that. And then look at Acts 2 on the screen. Acts 2, Jesus said, go there and wait. And they were waiting for this. Acts 2, and this is where the New Testament church was born. The New Testament church was a Spirit-filled church. This is where the church was born, right here. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all in one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Notice the Holy Spirit filled the house before it filled the people. Notice that the Holy Spirit was present in the house before the Holy Spirit was in the people. So that's why here at Church on the Rock, we pray over those seats that you're sitting in, our staff, our team, our prayer team. We pray over the classrooms. We pray over the stairwells. We pray over the elevators. We pray over the parking lot, because we want you to feel, when you come here, the presence of an almighty God. We want you to sense the presence of the Holy Spirit is here. And we want that more than anything else. So notice, it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Verse 3, then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. Verse 4, now watch this. And they were all filled, Spirit-filled church. The New Testament church was a Spirit-filled church. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the initial evidence was they began to speak with other tongues, a prayer language, for you and God, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So notice that we get born again only by the Holy Spirit. We call that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling, that's the first experience. But at Church on the Rock, a Spirit-filled church is for people like my Invictus gym. I don't want to be average. I want to excel and be above average. A Spirit-filled church doesn't want to just get by, doesn't want to be a normal, average Christian. A Spirit-filled church wants everything God has for them. Can I have a witness? Wants everything God has for them. Wants to go all the way. Nothing left on the table. Wants everything that God has. And so they want the second experience called the infilling. Everyone say indwelling. Now say infilling. Say indwelling and say infilling. Two experiences, okay? So the infilling then is when we allow the Holy Spirit. I like it this way, a pot on the stove full of water. The pot is a type of our body and the water is a type of the Holy Spirit. So the water is in the pot. The Holy Spirit is inside us in our human spirit. But when we say, God, turn the heat up, I want more. When you turn the heat up, then that water overflows. That's a type of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling. And notice that the initial, not the only, but the initial, not the only, but the initial evidence of being Spirit-filled is a prayer language, is speaking and praying in tongues. You see, Pastor, you know, I'd be too embarrassed. I couldn't do that. That's one thing I don't quite understand. Why would that be so important? Let me tell you why. The Bible says the most unruly member of our body is our tongue. That's the book of James. It says the most unruly member of our body is our tongue. And it says that our tongue, like a rudder, like a bit in a horse's mouth, determines the direction of our life. So when we surrender our tongue, which no man can tame on their own, the book of James says, when we surrender our tongue, we're surrendering our life. When we surrender our tongue, we're surrendering our future, our destiny, the course of our life. And when we surrender our tongue, we're saying, God, you have all of me. That's powerful. That is so powerful. So I shared with you last week my story. I grew up in church. I grew up in a full gospel church, a Spirit-filled church. My dad was a deacon. My mom's Sunday school superintendent. I got born again when I was 11 years old. But for whatever reason, rebellion as a teenager or wrong teaching or religion or tradition, I didn't receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with a prayer language till I was 22 in college. So I got born again, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit when I was 11. And you know, I compromised my teenage years. I wavered. I didn't do anything in church, even though my dad was a deacon, my mom's Sunday school superintendent. We were there every time the doors were open. I never got involved. I couldn't wait to get in and get out. But at age 22, when Kim and I were in college, we were in a church service on a weekend, and the pastor was doing what I'm doing today, teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And all of a sudden, it just clicked that day, and I just felt like that was my day. I want that. I need that. I need that experience. I need the power. I need the strength. I need to know the Holy Spirit. I want to be Spirit-led, Spirit-filled. And so at the end of the teaching and the preaching, the pastor, he prayed a corporate prayer for everybody that was there. A lot of students from the college went to that church. And when he prayed, he said, now, I'm going to pray that Jesus, he baptizes us, by the way. Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to pray that Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit, those of you who are born again, and that you get a prayer language. Well, I just believed it. So when he prayed, he said, whatever syllables come to your mind, you begin to speak them out. And so I did, and just a few syllables came out. And to my mind, it sounded kind of goofy, kind of crazy. But you know, you start out with any language, like when you were a baby, dada, mama. As you get older, can I borrow the car? So I found out then as I began to use those syllables and pray every day, that language would grow. And now today, several different languages I pray when I pray in tongues. And you can too. That's God's will. But let me show you something. After that happened to me, all of a sudden something changed. I'm a Christian. I'm going to a Bible college. I grew up in the church, but I never got involved. I never got plugged in. And after I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and a prayer language, 2 weeks later, approximately, I went in to see the pastor of that church. I said, Pastor, how can I help you? Where do you need help in your church? He said, a bus ministry. We have a bus ministry. We go out on Saturday morning and we visit the families. And then Sunday, we go pick them up on the bus, bring them to church. He said, I need help there. I said, I'm your man. So the next Saturday, I started going out with the pastor on Saturday morning. And I started with him inviting those kids and families to ride the bus on Sunday. And I did that for a few months. And then I went back to him again, not to stop that. I said, Pastor, what else can I do for you? He said, we got a jail ministry in Dallas, Texas, right downtown where JFK was shot at that particular time. We go every Sunday afternoon at 3 o'clock. We need more people to go. I said, I'm your man. I'll go. That's where I preached my very first sermon, was in the Dallas County Jail from the outside in. Okay? That's my very first sermon. And so what happened? Here's what I found out. Spirit-filled people want to serve. I'm going to say that again. Spirit-filled people want to serve. They want to give back. They want to give back to the Lord. They don't want to sit and soak and just be a spectator. They want to participate. They want to join the dream team. They want to get involved in Ministry of Helps. They want to, how can I help my church? How can I give back? What can I do? I want to share. I want to be a witness. Spirit-filled people, a spirit-filled church is a church that witnesses. A spirit-filled church is a church that is a serving church in that local church and the community. Now look at this verse, Exodus 35, verse 30 through 33. Watch this. This is so powerful. Moses said to the Israelites, see, the Lord called by name Bezalel, son of Uri, the son of Hur, the tribe of Judah. Now watch this, verse 31. And he has filled him, okay, look at this. He has filled him with the Spirit of God. So look what happens. When you and I get filled with the Holy Spirit, look what happens. What comes? Ability. Say ability. Wisdom. Say wisdom. When we get filled with the Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we get filled with the Spirit of God. What comes with that? Power. But let's break it down. Ability and wisdom. Intelligence. Say that word with me. Intelligence. And then understanding. Say understanding. And then with knowledge, say knowledge, and all craftsmanship, say craftsmanship. I want you to see that when the Holy Spirit, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit in a spirit-filled church, we expect more, we do more, we believe more, we achieve more. In a spirit-filled church, notice that with that comes not only eternal life when we get the indwelling, get born again, but then the Holy Spirit empowers us to live our best life here and fulfill our destiny and our calling. Notice with the Spirit of God, and as a team comes out, notice what comes with the Holy Spirit is ability, wisdom, intelligence, understanding, with knowledge, and all craftsmanship. One translation says, with the Holy Spirit comes everything you need to live out your God-given purpose. Oh my goodness. Now I put that with Philippians 4, 13. I can, everybody say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Notice when we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence, the first evidence of a prayer language, what comes with that is not only power, but ability and wisdom and intelligence, understanding and knowledge for all craftsmanship. In other words, your career, your calling, your purpose, your assignment, the will of God. When we allow the Holy Spirit to take over, then He'll bring into our life everyone we need, everything we need to fulfill God's purpose for our life. Can we have a praise break? Can you give God praise? Hallelujah. Come on, give Him a big praise. Amen, 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 amen. Look what it says. Look what it says here in the Amplified, that same verse. In the cutting of stones, for setting and carving of wood, for work in every skilled craft. Oh, the Holy Spirit will help you develop the skill that you need. Look at the overheads, the screens. Power, ability. This is what comes when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit with your prayer language. Power, ability, gifts, influence, every needed skill to be successful in living out God's purpose. A spirit-filled church is where people are equipped to be more successful in their craft, their calling, their job, their career, their business than the average Joe or the average Joe. Amen? Praise God. I'm done. If you got something today, come on, give the Lord a big thank you. Give the Lord a big praise. Let's thank him for the word right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's bow our heads right now. Everyone here, everyone online. Right now, we're gonna pray. Before we do, I want to give you an opportunity right now. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, I encourage you to do it today. God loves you. God's for you. God has a plan for your life. But you have to open up your heart and you have to let him come in. He won't force you. He won't make you. He allows you to make your own choice and decision. But he loves you today. Or you say, Pastor, you know, I'm a believer, but I need to reset my life. I need to get back on course. I've kind of swayed. I've kind of wandered. I need to come back. If that's you online, punch the button on your device. There's someone there to pray with you. If that's you here in the sanctuary or the lobby or the Rock Express and you see a pastor, pray for me. Include me in the prayer today. Lift your hand right where you're at. Would you just lift your hand up high? Keep it up. Just lift it up high. All of heaven's watching. Your whole life will change. The trajectory of your life will change with this one decision. Amen. And then those of you, you see, I'm born again. I'm saved. I have the Holy Spirit. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. But I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to pray that you receive that today in our prayer line. So church, let's help everybody right now. Say it with me. Heavenly Father, I repent. I am a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he died for me, and that he rose again. Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life. I receive you now as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and take my life and make a difference. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for watching this week's message. One way for you to connect here at Church in the Rock is through the God is for You classes. These classes are designed to teach you about the culture, mission, and values of Church on the Rock, and about your God-given design. You can take these classes anytime by going to our website at cotr.org/God is for you. And if you want to know about all the incredible things we have here at Church on the Rock, make sure to visit our website at cotr.org. And never forget, God is for you.